We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Andy Liu, the Warriors win on the road against the Oklahoma City Thunder. I want to say it was a stress-free game, but I can't honestly say it was a stress-free game. But we'll take it. This is as close to a stress-free game on the road as we've gotten. You're welcome to the Pacific Catch post-game show. How you doing, my man?
I am doing amazing. That was that not close to a stress-free game for the Warriors fan that's been a fan of the this season. That's a stress-free game. That was a blowout. The Warriors won by 30, pretty much. I wasn't worried coming in this game. I'll be honest with you, Sam. I wasn't actually worried the second half of this game, even as they were choking that lead. So, yeah, hey, right away, comment section. For Daniel Thompson, stress level about a 6.5 out of 10. I'll go around there. Around there, because watching the Warriors this season, this game had a different vibe to it down the stretch. It never felt like, oh my God, they look like they're out of control. They're not playing any defense. It felt like, okay, like things are kind of wobbly. OKC's at home. They're making some bullshit shots. And then the Warriors kind of picked it up and closed it out at the end. It felt good.
It felt more like last year, midseason, come out strong, mess around a little bit, but never lose control of it. And I want to just call out the star of the show, the man who passed Wilt Chamberlain for most field goals made as a Golden State Warrior, Stephen Curry. I remember when Steph was slumping for a couple days there?
Like two games, you mean? Yeah.
I mean, it was about when he came back from injury the 7th of January. There's a couple weeks there where you could tell he didn't have his wind. He didn't look like Steph. He's back. I mean, everything looked so easy for him. And every time they needed something, he's like, I got it. Just ridiculous shots, passes. I mean, the game feels too easy for him sometimes.
Yeah. Supreme aggressiveness right off the bat. I think that's usually if you only say a couple things that have been not so great about Steph these last, 3 years, 4 years, it's that sometimes he doesn't come out super aggressive. He lets the game kind of come to him and lets other teams kind of guard him, make it easier to guard him. But tonight, nah, dude. You're right. The last few games, same thing, where the Warriors are kind of in this mini win streak. Steph is just basically saying, instead of trying to bring us back when we're down 10 at halftime, why don't we just do that, flip that, do that in the first quarter and just kind of take over and make the game easy for everyone else. Dude, I didn't know he even had 18 points at halftime on 8 shots.
It was so in the flow, right?
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah. I thought he had like 10. He had 18, and then he closes the game. He has 38. And I'm just sitting there like, damn. I mean, he hit every big shot. He did say one quote, which I thought was pretty funny at the end when they asked him about Wilt passing mode. He said, I'm getting old. He's going to be 35. Dude, he's going to be 35 in a month, man. It's crazy.
It is. Dude, he's turning 35 in 6 weeks. I don't even want to go there. But, yeah, I mean, he's going to own every relevant Warriors record before he retires. I mean, he already has half of them. So it's just like we're entering the phase of Steph's career where every, I don't know, 5 to 10 games, it's like, and Steph is setting a new record for this and that sort of thing, you know? So it is what it is. To me, it's not that the shot making gets old, because it never gets old, but it's just the control he had of the total game. And it really did feel like the Warriors were finally serious with the game today, where they came out, they were defending from the whistle. Because this roster is not as deep as previous rosters, they went through a couple stretches where the other team kind of got back into it, but they never lost control of the game. I thought beyond Steph, Clay, and especially Draymond, just peak veteran, controlled the game, did everything they needed to. And I want to give a shout out to Andrew Wiggins. Easily his best game since coming back from injury. 15 points on 7 of 13 is, you know, it's good. It's efficient. 4 rebounds, not, you know, the highest number, but I thought he made an impact there. Active. But more importantly, yeah, he was active and his defense was really good. He looked like the Wiggins who made All-Star last year. And maybe he just needed a couple of weeks because he was out for an extended period of time and he just did not look like himself when he came back.
Not even close to looking like himself. So and it's never health. We talked about it. It's not about him coming back early, because if the Warriors do one thing, they hold people out. So he's always healthy. Yeah, dude, he's never missed that much time. So he comes back, he's completely in rhythm now. And they need him for these games, not because he's going 7 for 13, even though he had a big few buckets there in the beginning of the fourth to kind of keep OKC away just enough. He had a few big post-ups, but it's him being able to guard Shai Gilgeous, 31 points tonight, 10 for 10 from the free throw line, but 10 for 24 from the field, and a miserable first half. And not all of that was
five turnovers, by the way, and most turnovers. Of those were shooting ones too. Like this is a stats are deceiving game from him, because I did not think he played 100%. Particularly well.
He was not. And the Warriors threw a ton of stuff at him. They had Dante Adam. They had Wiggins to start. They had Kuminga, who had some good minutes on him until he started fouling or got called for fouls. And I think that's what the Warriors need to lengthen their defensive rotations, because they just don't have especially in a regular season game, they don't have super, super great defenders. So getting Kuminga back healthy, getting Andrew Wiggins back now allows Draymond and Looney to do kind of what they do best, which is play free safety. Draymond had a huge, huge help side block. Same with Looney down the stretch. So it just gives them more defenders, man. Now they don't have to play a Moses Moody. They don't have to play Jermichael Green, who didn't play tonight. They don't have to play Lamb as much, who only played 11 tonight. So they just take these guys out who can't defend. And it's simple. It's not rocket science. They just put more defensive players on, and it's life is easier.
Yeah, I think Steve wanted to get Lamb and Kuminga more minutes, but the Thunder made it tight, and he went for the win. They don't play on Tuesday. They have a back-to-back Wednesday and Thursday. At minimum, they want to get that Minnesota one on Wednesday, because Thursday in Denver on a back-to-back,
yeah, that's
a loss.
Yeah. Wiseman, just Moody, Baldwin. There you go. Have fun. Yeah.
Enjoy. Big Jim versus Big Yoke. Let's go. let's talk Draymond real quick here. Yeah. Fitz doing a little campaigning for Draymond to make All-Star there. Do you think he will? Honestly, like, it's not relevant to this game. I'm kind of over caring about All-Star, if I'm going to be honest with you. But look, if there's one player I like to see get accolades, it's Draymond, because I feel like he gets really underappreciated in terms of, like, just he's not a scorer. The things he does don't get highlights. He's not, you know, he's not going to be featured on the NBA's TikTok like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander or something. It's kind of, you know, I wasn't really thinking about it. Then I started thinking about it, and it's like, okay, so you're going to get Shai and Ja as backup guards. Lowry probably makes it in the front court. Paul George probably makes it in the front court. Who else am I forgetting? Honestly, like Ant Edwards probably makes it. That's seven total players have to make it. I do think there's a reasonable chance Draymond, despite how disappointing the Warriors season is, he could make All-Star.
Yeah, it'd be good for him. It's a contract season, sort of-ish. Andrew Wiggins is not taking up a spot this season. He wasn't voted in as a starter, right? So there's a chance. I think the coaches might like Draymond. I think it would feel like a lifetime achievement award, even though he's not like the Tim Duncan type of guy, Kobe Bryant type, where you're just going to get the All-Star nod until forever, right? But it'd be nice to see him get another one. You're right.
I obviously forgot Kings. Kings got to get at least one of Fox or Sabonis in there.
Or one or both. It looks like they're going to win. They've won tonight again. So they win again in Minnesota. So the Kings are like a machine. They just keep winning. And Sabonis is playing through a broken thumb or something. I mean, just a monster. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they should get one of those guys in, if not both. But
I'm sure Dame will get in there and let us know he's not running from the grind.
Let's get to that. But I think one more thing about Draymond. This game and kind of the,
let's get back on topic.
About the cool thing about this season, dude's playing every game. Fitz mentioned it too. And tonight he looks super energized. Some games he kind of looks like he's out of it, which kind of can't blame with the way that he has to play and the size he is at. But I do look at the rest of the NBA. I'm looking tonight, Jalen Williams, the non-Santa Clara version. And then a couple of these big guys. Dude, Draymond's going to play the five until the rest of his career. And I don't think he's not guarding Jokic every night, man. It's not.
There's Jokic. There's Embiid.
Niners, Jesus, the Warriors play Sixers, right? They play once or twice a year, right? If that, Jokic is West, but that's it. So like, other than that, like, who are the real big bodies that he's banging against?
He was already going to guard AD anyway, so that doesn't change anything.
Ever is on the court.
Sure. So, you know, he plays him four times a year, but AD is going to miss two of those. So that's, you know, it's like,
and it's like, Ayton's a big guy, but does he bang? Like, what are we?
The Steven Adams of the world, which, like, in my opinion, were like what you wanted to avoid Draymond. Like, all those guys are turning into bench role players anyway. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not a big goons league anymore. On the Draymond note, I'm looking at this coming into tonight's game. He's second on the team in minutes. Pretty fucking impressive, given how small he is and, age and all those things. Like, Jordan Poole's obviously played the most minutes, and, he's young. And I should hope he's played the most minutes at this point. But behind him, it's Draymond. Draymond's been the most steady force on this team. And I don't really know where they'd be without him. Like, it's one of those things where it's very easy to overlook all the little things he does for the team.
Yep. And there's a clip that keeps popping up on my timeline. It's very freaking annoying. And it's Draymond with Taylor Rooks saying, like, hey, she asked him, what do you think about being a warrior for the rest of your life, essentially? And he says, the writing's on the wall. And I watch that and I'm just like, is he just playing games? Because you watch games like these in every game, because we say it every game. Draymond can't not be a warrior if you want to win basketball games. It's just not.
They don't have a serious. Yeah, exactly. Serious. It's like, if you want to move in a different direction, there's like, I don't know, a half dozen guys in the entire NBA who can probably replace his role for this team. And you don't have one of them. So, like you said, be serious. He's the yin to Steph's yang. He's played excellent basketball tonight.
There's just no bigs that are going to put him out of the league or make him super ineffective. His defense will translate for the next 3-4 years. Like, I don't think he's out anytime soon.
By the way, that's why I think that, I've come a completely around on your side of it. I used to be like, just try to get Jakob Poeltl. Now I'm just like, why? Wing or bust? Because Draymond's a center. What they need is another guy with length, so it's not like Anthony Lamb out there. Yep. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if it's not that, like, I don't know that, getting a Mason Plumlee does that much for them other than, like, gets Looney and Draymond, 5 minutes of rest here and there.
I was going to say, if that's the case, and we're getting down to the end of the season here, there's only 30 games left. You're essentially getting Plumlee to sit guys certain games. Like, my thing would have been, you get him in the beginning of the season, but again, you get to the Wiseman stuff. We're not going to do that whole thing right again. So we're already 50 games in, right? We're already 50 games in. So if you're going to get a big, then you're going to sit those guys a couple games. Is it worth doing all that? So I'm with you. Now it's like, can you supplement? Because it's a 9-man rotation tonight with everyone healthy. Andre out. It's a 9-man rotation, but Lamb's got 11 of those minutes.
I love how you say Andre out like it was a question.
I just throw that out. I'm just letting you know, that Andre's hurt again. But that's 8 guys. That's 8 guys, 8.5-ish guys. And can you get another guy that can play, whether that be Alex Caruso or something, you know, who's my favorite guy. We got 9 days until the trade deadline. 9 days now. All right. We're getting there. We're getting there.
Yeah. Yeah, we are getting there.
Four more shows until then, so we'll get there. And then we'll do an emergency show when the Warriors do whatever they're going to do.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Let's talk Jordan Poole real quick. I feel like we, it's roller coaster is the best way to describe him at this point. Like, I'm getting pretty fed up on some things, but it's just kind of who he is too. Like,
What stuff?
Turnovers, yeah. Missed defensive rotation. Just kind of like it felt like the Warriors were in a groove, and Jordan Poole does some stuff, and it's just. You give and you take with him, right? That's just kind of how it goes.
You sound more frustrated than I am. I thought he played a good game today, even though he went 4-for-12 from the field and missed three free throws. Super weird, but I thought he was trying really hard on defense to start. The thing about when you go with that 3-guard lineup, Jordan, and I think they've told him this. Not I think they definitely have because he's really trying on defense. It's, dude, you have to either score 30 points on offense or you have to actually try on defense and fit in. Because I do think on offense it's a little clunky with him and Clay, especially with how good Clay's looked. But I do think Poole's trying harder on defense. I will say that shot that he took on the baseline in transition, the Warriors are, I think, up four.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, up four with maybe 3 minutes to go, something like that. And he had just missed a three. And Steph gets him the ball. Shout out to Steph, who trusts him. God bless him. Shoots a three from the corner with like 22 seconds on the shot clock. Nails it. I looked at Risa and I was just like, I hate that shot. But if he's not going to shoot it, why is he not out there for that shot? Same with Klay Thompson. If you're not going to shoot that shot, go home. Right? Then what's the point? Because it's not like you're playing defense. So I don't know, Sam. I was encouraged as long as he doesn't close. That's my thing. He played 31 minutes tonight, didn't close. They closed with Wiggins.
Second game in a row, by the way. Steve's not close with him. And
right choice.
I can't get mad at him because it's not their best defensive lineup. And closing, I kind of feel like you ride Steph, Clay in defense. Like it just you go correct. With it. If Steph's not gonna hit shots down the stretch and that's why you lose a game, so be it. But I hate losing games because of defense. And
I think the Boston one was really what set it off. Is
probably
it was just a missed defensive rotation on Jaylen Brown. He hits a three, you go to OT. Like that shit just can't happen. That is literally winner.
And Dante's not huge, but he plays a lot bigger than Poole. And that's really what it comes down to. Like you look. Steve has a quote every game where he's like begging for a little more size. And I really think it's just like, just give me another wing I can play out there. You know, like you guys want Kuminga to be that guy, but that's unrealistic given where he is developmentally to be a closing lineup guy. Right. Like, I don't know how you feel about it. Like, I think Kuminga is super talented. He's going to have a big part of this team's future and he's playing important minutes for this team. I don't know if he's a closing lineup guy in the next 3 months. Like that's kind of unrealistic given
if they wanted him to be that guy, he should have been playing 25, 30 minutes a game, every game.
Yeah.
What it should have been.
We got a super chat from Awesome, kind of piggybacks off this. Rui set the market and it's scraps for scraps. If Jay goes to the Bucks package, Warriors have no excuse. Not hearing GS7 talk, he means Jay Crowder.
Got Jay Crowder.
Is nuts. So the rumored offer that the Bucks put forward, it literally was just kind of a poo-poo platter of stuff no one wants. George Hill, Serge Ibaka, David Nwora. It's just kind of like...
Not a fan of Nwora? Shooter. Well, can shoot a little bit.
He's okay. He's okay. He's okay. I do feel like that's probably what they're getting, because guess what? When a player holds out and he doesn't have a contract, you can't be demanding first-round picks left and right, you know?
And you also benched him. It's not even good. You benched him.
The whole thing is, I do wonder, we were discussing this, and we'll discuss it. It's like we got 11 days to trade deadline, 10 if you're listening to this on Tuesday. I wonder if a lot of these prices come down the last 2-3 days. It feels like everyone's still trying to find a sucker right now, you know?
You think the Lakers were suckers with that offer? Because they got that happened early.
No, not really. They're second round picks. I don't really know. That's just a weird trade to me, honestly. I'm not even sure Rui's good, like you always say.
Yep.
I'm just intrigued by the tools.
Somebody said the Lakers maybe promised him a contract or something, restricted free agency of some type of value.
That would make sense. Something weird like that.
Yeah. Warriors definitely wouldn't do that. It's interesting. I mean, it's interesting, but I mean, back to the Warriors. Before we get to anyone, I want to say this: that this feels like a team that is coming together at the right time. That's what it feels like. 38 Steph, 28 from Klay, but beyond all that shit, they came out there pretty much with a set agenda to show up. Felt like kind of they were at home in OKC, classic at home, and said. How many times was this the fourth time counting on my third, fourth time this season where you and I have said, this is the stretch. This is the stretch. And I'm sure we'll say it again, but I do think the Warriors for the first time this season are playing like this is the stretch that's going to put them over the hump. This is, they're going to play Minnesota. And now that's another guy that they can distance themselves moving forward. Teams are losing left and right in the Western Conference every single night. And I think that the Warriors know that this is, if not now, then you're going to really have to race against time in the end of the season. So now is where you have to go 7-3. And you've got the schedule up now.
I think I texted you about this over the weekend, but it was kind of like when they won that Raptors game, they have 9 games, 8 now, before the All-Star break. And I was looking at them like they really need to go 6-3, really 7-3 to close it out. So they got one. And if you look at the rest of it, it's like Wolves kind of need that one.
Got to be a win.
Denver in Denver on a back-to-back, that's a loss.
Fine.
Come home and play the Mavericks. Okay, Luka's tough, but it's
3 days rest, dude. 3 days rest. Got to be a win.
2 days. You got to win that one. Oh,
2 days. Wow.
OKC is coming to chase. That's got to be a win.
Yep.
Dame's coming with Portland. That's got to be a win.
Yep.
Lakers on a Saturday night. That's got to be a win. Yep. Wizards, it's got to be a win. And then back-to-back with the Clippers in L.A. Okay, I could see that being a rough one to close out the All-Star break. But what I'm getting at here is we got 7 games left here. There's 2 games here in which I would say maybe they're not favored. You know, like Denver back-to-back and Clippers back-to-back feel like games where the other team should have a serious advantage. And honestly, yeah, if they do that, if they go 5-2, which mixed with the other ones would be 62-72. If they close out like that, they're probably up to the 4-5 seed given the way the West is going right now. It's a sneaky, really important stretch for this team. These are games that they should have for the most part. And they are, like you said, they're gelling at the right time.
They are doing two things that they haven't done all season. Number one is come out and take the game serious. They go up by 15. Mm-hmm. And dude, it's so hard to come back. In the NBA, it's easier than ever to come back from 15, but you still have to come back from 15 and exert that energy, especially if you're getting outplayed the first quarter. Warriors doing that first time I've seen all season. Second piece is the easiest part. Close with the best lineup that you have. Your best players are better than their best players. Just close. And they haven't done that as much this season. They're doing that tonight. Like from now on out, I'm looking at Draymond, Looney, Wiggins, Steph, and Klay tonight at the last 5 minutes. I'm just like, they're not losing the game, dude. They're not lose. Love me some Josh Giddey, but he's hitting fadeaway 18 footers, man. They are not losing this game, dude.
I do feel like that sums up the early season frustration. It's one thing to lose in Milwaukee to a healthy Giannis and that whole thing. It's another thing to lose games to like the Bulls. And those were just like unserious efforts. And that's what drove us insane, right? Like, it was like, I want to be discussing them in context of the best teams and really analyzing if they have enough. I don't want to be discussing about like if they're going to show up against the Wizards, you know, like that's and that's kind of what the early season was. I say we get to the callers. I'd say we get to the goons. Appreciate the goons who are in here. We will be giving away Pacific Catch gift card to best call. Let's start with Daniel.
Hey, guys.
Daniel, what's up, man?
Not much. How are you doing?
Good. What you got for us?
So, yeah, I'm in my first month as a freshly minted goon, so this feels momentous right now.
Nice. Love it.
But I don't know if you caught this, and I actually called, jumped the gun on the voicemail before I saw you guys were doing this. I don't know how soon they're going to nominate Fitz for the Emmy for how well he differentiated between the Jalen Williams tonight. between Santa Clara and Arkansas, you know, it's going to be seared into our memory for forever. So, but on a more serious note, you're talking about the closing lineups with the best players.
Right.
And there's just a moment where it almost feels like the pace of the game turns and it immediately feels stressful to have Jordan Poole in the game. And it's not all bad. And I think you guys covered this really well. He's trying on defense. He's going after loose balls and he's making shots. But the slip and slide, hezzy dribble, fall over, or, you know, like the hook pass and you're not Steph Curry. It's tough. It's tough. So I was just thinking, like, is there a way you can almost set policy of like, no Pool under 6 minutes in the fourth quarter until he's like on an absolute burner. So that was mostly what I wanted to hear your guys' thoughts about. Also, the Warriors are a positive plus minus differential on the year after tonight.
They did. They've been at like minus like one or half. Wow. There you go. Also covered the spread. What a call.
So yeah, I appreciate you guys. Thanks.
Daniel, appreciate the call. By the way, so it's kind of a joke. But I do agree with him. Fitz is at his best with things like the double Jalen situation. Just this is Olympic Fitz, just letting everyone know he can differentiate. He's like Arkansas Jalen, Santa Clara Jalen.
And with the speed that he's doing it. And here's the thing. He's doing it without laughing, smiling. Mm-hmm. He's doing it like it's part of his name, like it's part of the actual call. And it's just seamless. It's kind of annoying. But just the fact that he can do it is just, God, the guy is. And then while he's doing that, he's also running Draymond for All-Star propaganda. Guy is just art, man. He is built for this stuff. Fitz knows that people are locked into the Warriors now. He knows that everyone in the Bay is locked into the Warriors for the next few months. He's going to put on a show.
Fitz built different. is he him?
Fitz definitely has the dog. Fitz definitely has the Jordan Poole also has a dog, but to Daniel's point, he might think he has too many dogs. Like he's a guy that thinks he's like five dogs, and he might just have one in his chest. But Jordan under 6 minutes. I like that rule because you need to play defense, and I do think that at the end of games, it's just give it to Steph anyway.
I feel like Kerr gave it a long time with Poole and
kind of had no choice too with Wiggins. Kind of had no choice.
Yeah. We're entering the part of the season where it's like, sorry about your feelings. You know, like I just got to go with my best things. Like every day we get someone's thoughts on the Wiseman situation. And it's the same, you know, it's not the same because Poole plays 30 minutes a game. So he's still objectively helping the team, but it's just kind of like, you know what? Like, I know everyone wants to play, and I know everyone wants this fairy tale where the kids take over for the old guys, but they're not good enough. You know what I mean? And that's kind of what it comes down to with Poole. Like, you want him to take a step, but it just hasn't happened yet. And at a certain point, you just kind of got to go with your guys who you know can get it done. 100%. Let's get to Francisco. Francisco, my man, how you doing?
Hi, good night. Well, just first coming right over from the playback, we had a great game with McWalter and Ty.
Nice. Hey,
people that are here on YouTube should go there every game. We're having some great nights. But just trying to just calling a great game, okay? But we had some minutes, some Kuminga Wiggins minutes. Just wanted to have your opinion on them. The start of the second quarter, some great D, but no offense. I think, but I think it goes in line with what you said. Poole should be the engine for that lineup, but it didn't get much. But some great D, and I just wanted to get your opinion since we're starting to get those minutes, those Kuminga Wiggins minutes. But I think my opinion is I hope Wiggins just doesn't stand on the three-point line in those kind of lineups with Kuminga, because both of them can do most of the same stuff on the floor. Okay, so have a good night. Hope to hear from you.
Appreciate it, Francisco.
Dude, brought up one thing that I was thinking about all night. I love that call because, Kuminga and Wiggins, when I saw them together and when I saw the Warriors not score, but I also saw them not let the Thunder score, that gave me flashbacks of 2015, 16, 17, 18, 19. That's exactly what it gave me. Because Andre, Sean, West, all those guys would come in and they would not score for five minutes.
It was a grind. Yeah.
6-4 for 5 minutes. But who cares? Right? Right? Who cares? As long as you play defense, as long as the plus minus is not like plus 10, as long as the plus minus isn't minus 10, that's it. That's it. And I think that's what those two guys allow you to do. Dante, Draymond, Poole, right? It's just enough offense. So I liked it. I loved it, actually. Didn't think I'd miss those days.
And so they ran some split cuts for Kuminga, too. And I actually thought he was pretty good at them, if I'm going to be honest with you. Like they had him be the ball handler, and you throw it into him, had like Steph, Poole, Clay running off of him. And he actually got some offense out of it because like OKC did a good job of covering the guys moving off of him, the shooters, everything. And he was able to turn around and make some baskets there, which is something that like, you know, Draymond and Looney are never going to do out of that. Obviously they're better passers, but like they're never going to do that. So it's interesting. I do think that there's some potential there with Kuminga as like a post scoring option for them because he's showing that he can potentially be a good enough passer to make the read, but he's an absolute, like, he's huge. You know, he's like a physical freak down there, and he could push his way through and get some buckets that way.
I mean, that's just, they want him to be Andrew Wiggins is what they want him to be. I mean, it's literally just, you can be a lockdown defensive player. Your athleticism is second to none. You got the little post-up game, which is what Wiggins did tonight. And when you figure the three out, which obviously Wiggins has, you're going to be a freaking two-way monster, man. That's it.
For sure. For sure. Should we get to the voicemails?
Let's roll.
I think it's time to get to the voicemails. Tim, let's start with the OKC one first.
I'm just calling to say this was a great win. This OKC team is tough. They're a bunch of kids who are all dogs, it seems like, because they will not give up. But we held it together. We come away with the win. And I'm so proud of the team collectively. You guys have a great show tonight. This is Karima calling from New York. Bye.
Karima, it's been a minute since you called in. Appreciate it. It did feel like, man, they need to start stacking wins together. And it felt like, I'll put it this way. 2 months ago, they lose this game. 2 months ago, after the win against Toronto, nice loss, and you and I are just fucking angry online, you know? Tonight, they decided to lock in, take care of business. It got a little tight. That's the best part. It got tight. And, you know, they locked it on defense, and Steph carried it home. So it does feel like maybe they're entering a little stretch here, and if – we waited long enough for it, man. We've waited long enough for them to go on a run this season. They're 50 damn games in.
They waited. I'm telling you, they waited till we had nothing else to watch. And now we are We are locked in with the Warriors.
Oh, yes. Yeah. They literally waited for football season to end in the Bay. Is that our transition right there? They waited for the Niner season to end to officially start playing basketball. Well, I mean, I guess it's better than them still not playing basketball. So,
oh man, that is, that was, you know, the sad part about these things is that you wish that the team that you root for, when they lose, like you watch the Bengals, they lose and you're just like, man, I felt like that was everything, right? Everyone's healthy. Everyone's getting after it. Kid makes a mistake, roughing the passer, which was kind of BS, and they lose the game. But that's all you've got. The Niners felt like it was unfair. But anyway, let's go.
We're going to get to that later. I got some thoughts too, and I agree with you. What are you thinking?
Let me get on an SGA one real quick while I'm watching the game. And Giddy, because I have some takes on those two guys. Interesting. I don't watch too many OKC games. It's one team I don't watch as much this season. Number one, Giddy was – he probably needs the ball in his hands maybe a little bit more. Super smart player, but not too impressed today. But the SGA one is killing me because he looks like – I mean, he had 31 today, and it seemed effortless. I think the anointing of him as like a superstar player is coming. People wanted him to be a starter in the All-Star team, which I think is interesting. But I'm watching him play Sam, and I'm a little concerned. I'm a little concerned because there's a lot of jump into someone. Oh, need a foul call. You know, there's a lot of running into people trying to get a foul call. And I know I've said this before, but look, if that's what you want to do and you just want to be like a Damian Lillard, who's just like a really cool regular season player. And in the playoffs, he has some big moments, but he's never going to win anything more than that. Like, that's cool. Same with James Harden. But dude, you cannot play basketball like that consistently. You cannot. Actually, you pull this up, and Joel Embiid's another one of these who has no postseason success because he's that type of player. It's just, drop out, free throw. It's all he wants to do. It's all he wants to do, and that stuff is not going to work when the game.
I'm anti Philly right now, so I'm with you. No, I like Shea's game. He's really smooth, and the mid range game is nice. But you can see tonight was an example. Push comes to shove, he's looking for the bailout.
You cannot do that.
And you're going to get that in most of the regular season. But it's like when you play against the better teams in the playoffs, you can see that that's not going to be there. You know, James Harden, how many years was he the greatest offensive player of all time only to look like mediocre in the playoffs?
You know? You watch him tonight, by the way. He's so fat now. They lose to Orlando.
I meant to text you, but when he started tweeting Niners stuff midweek, I should have been like, bad sign. Not good.
I know.
That might be the first time Philly liked him because they get to troll him for that. So, Tim, I know we got a couple voicemails left yesterday from after that Niners game. Let's play them. We promised the listeners some therapy here, little vigil. We did Warrior stuff for the beginning, so those of you who don't want to listen can drop off now. But
I just called the Lyft home after the Niners went into the fourth quarter because I couldn't even stand watching the rest of the game. And I have a story that sums up what it's like to be a Bay Area sports fan in 2023. I was at the bar watching the Niners game with some friends, first half. I step out of the bathroom, and as soon as I take a step out into the hallway, because I stepped out, there was a guy walking by at the exact moment that I opened the door, and then a girl walking by, and the two collided, and they spilled beers all over me. And it was a fucking fluke, crazy thing, and that's how I feel like it's like to be a fucking sports fan in the Bay Area right now. There's Jermichael Green, doesn't know how to operate in a motion offense. You have James Wiseman, who just, the guy just was, you know, born on the wrong side of the earth. I don't know how to explain him as a person. And then you have the Niners, who Kyle Shanahan freezes up and screws up every possible big moment. I mean, there should be a list of Kyle Shanahan leading his team right up to the finish line and then collapsing right as it's as is necessary to just fucking take one more step and finish strong, and the guy can't do it. And I'm pissed, and I don't even care if you play this on the pod, but this has just been a shitty year. I'm sorry. Hearts out to the fucking goons.
By the way, shout out to the 925 for that call. You know you're with me. It has been a shitty year. January 1st through the 30th. It's been a long year, my friend. oh. That was so everyone who listens to this knows I didn't grow up a Niners fan. I have not been that salty about a game probably since like 2016 Warriors, honestly. Like, it was, I think you said it, and I'm going to turn the mic over to you, but it's one thing to get beat. It's another thing to feel like there was never a fucking game played. You know what I mean? And that's kind of the, I was just like, oh, great. He, as we know now, tears his elbow.
Oh.
It's just like, and then the Ndamukong Suh, it's just, I don't know, man. I thought Kyle Shanahan was literally going to do what he always wanted to do, which was like actually go in there and play quarterback himself at one point. He didn't have another choice.
I said that. I was like, get Kyle in the game. Kyle wants Kyle in the game. That was not the worst Niners loss I've ever seen. I've seen two other worst ones because they were Super Bowls, so those were worst losses. But you, right on point. We wasted 3 hours. Every single football fan, not just you, not just I, there were Dallas Cowboys fans out there. There were Seahawks fans out there that sat in front of their TV Sunday afternoon, beer in hand, and said, we're locked in. This is going to be a great football game. And some of them were saying, fuck the Niners. Some of them were saying, you know, screw the Eagles. You know what I mean? Like they wanted to see a great game, which is what we got in Cincinnati and Kansas City. It got a great game. You go in, and here's the thing about the Niners too, and you cover this, you watch it as much as me, is that third quarterback, the type of stuff that they've been through the last 4 or 5 years with Kyle at head coach, we've never seen anything like it. I didn't feel like they were a team of destiny. I do think like if they had won the game, they played Kansas City, they lose, right? Like my thing is if they had played Kansas City in Super Bowl, Mahomes gets healthy, they lose anyway. But it felt like you deserved, and very rarely in sports do you say shit is unfair. But that was unfair, Sam. That was unfair that the Niners didn't get a shot. Didn't get a shot to go out there and lose to the Eagles. Because they may have lost anyway. Brock Purdy might have gotten sacked 8 times because it looked like they were going to get sacked 8 times. Jalen Hurts might have, you know, he might have figured it out against Niners defense if at some point. Maybe Philly wins 28-21 anyway. But, dude, let me watch them lose. Let me watch them lose. Instead, we all sat there for 3 hours, and we watched. I felt like I was watching a high school football game. Like, it was a joke.
I didn't tell you this. This is the first football game I've watched at a sports bar since my son was born over a year ago. Oh. I went with friends. I was, like, super hyped. You know, relive the glory days a little bit. Just generally be social.
Yeah.
And it was just the whole way through. I was just like, really? Really? I wasted all that time for this? Just like, all right, I guess I'll have another beer. It's just like sitting on the couch, like kind of hungover at 3:30 in the afternoon with like a 1-year-old who wants me to play with him. And I'm just like, it hurt a lot. It was not a fun way. I felt like I really got screwed. And by the way, I want to say this. I don't think I've ever disliked a team the way the Eagles acted. Dude, I've never, Trent, I wish Trent Williams threw like 4 players. I'm going to be honest with you. It reminded me of when the Warriors beat the Spurs and Zaza injured Kawhi. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't think it was on purpose. Just like I don't think anything the Eagles did was on purpose.
No.
But everyone on the Spurs side was butthurt, right? And what did the Warriors do? They just went about their business and took care of the series. I don't remember Steph dancing on everyone. and KD dancing on everyone. They knew the series was over. Yeah. They knew they had it won. They knew they got a little, I don't want to even say lucky, but they knew that like any sort of challenge was gone from that point forward. And just like watching a team like celebrate when they know the other team has a running back, a quarterback, like, come on, dude, that's clown behavior, you know?
Yeah.
Like just take your W and go.
Yeah. I guess I was too frustrated with the just life as a Niners fan to realize that. I do think watching that team too, you could see Philly was, they were clenching. They were clenching. Like CMC ran that guy over. Like you can feel in that place it was going to get weird. And I do think that that Niners offense, I know that they didn't get as much pressure as they wanted, but I tell you, the one thing I said before the game that the Niners defense could figure out is they're going to make Jalen Hurts play quarterback, and he's going to struggle, and he's going to struggle, and he did. But the defense had to be on the field for 80% of the games. So I don't know what are you supposed to do? And so maybe they're front runners. You know what I mean? Maybe they're front runners.
If it was pure front running behavior and whatever, they get to go to the Super Bowl. They get to talk their thing, but it just, it,
yeah, but Patrick Mahomes is going to take care of that. See, I've got, that's the one thing, Sam, I watch
one leg, game. One leg, just going to destroy him on one leg. I hope so.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He's that great. He's the football version of Steph Curry. There's nothing he can't do on the football field. He can even draw BS up in the passer house to get him to the Super Bowl. But I don't know. I'll be watching, I guess.
Yeah. All right. We got the GOAT coming in, and we're gonna leave it after here. McWalters, my man. How you doing?
Yo, what's up, guys? What's up? Missed you on the playback, but it's all good. Ty, myself, our good Portuguese friend there, we held down the house, so it's all good. What a game! What a game, my man! Personally, I hate Oklahoma, so I am very glad when we put a smackdown on that putrid franchise. So yes, absolutely. And I hear all this talk today: Giddy's this, Giddy's that. Giddy didn't show me squat today. You know, he has these leaning floaters, whatever. Couldn't guard a soul out there. His raptor arms couldn't provide any defense. You know, I'm not buying it. Give me the defensive potential of Kuminga any day over that fool. It's something you can't replicate easily to get an Iguodala type defender. He's not there yet. He's showing baby steps, but those baby steps are very promising. And if it can get there, that's a very key piece that you can't find easily in the league, especially one that can finish and at least draw fouls at the hoop. And I'm very, very happy about that. It was kind of a bummer that he didn't play more. Got a little ticky-tacky in the fouls, but he did a great job in the first half on SGA. So I thought overall it was a great game. Loved it. I'm stoked.
Let me ask you this. Yeah. Andy and I were talking about this earlier. Do you feel like a run is coming? Because 2 months ago, they win that Toronto game, and then they lose at Oklahoma, and we're really pissed off. They feel like they're deciding to get a little serious now.
It does. It does feel like they're starting to get a little serious. And then you see them tricking away today's lead. And you're like, oh, no. Shit might be creeping back again. And that might just be how the season is. I said before this game that I thought we could go 7-2 in the next nine. And people are calling me nuts. But I think it's there. I think it's right there for the taking. If we're a serious team for the playoffs and a serious run's going to happen, 6-3, 7-2 has to happen. So we've already checked off one off that list. We got to check off six more. Right, I see us maybe losing that Denver game, and then maybe just pick any of the other ones. I feel like all of the rest of them are winnable. That Denver one seems like it's a bit of a trap, but you know, other than that, I think we've got a really good shot as long as injuries and stuff hold up.
Agreed, Pastor John. Appreciate you. I think we should end it on that. I think it's time.
We'll be back.
Appreciate everyone.